Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
With TikTok ads, we went from 250,000 downloads to over 1 million downloads in less than a year.
I'm Eve.
I'm Anam, and we're the co-founders of Alinea.
Alinea Invest is an investing app for Gen Z.
We run 50 new ads per week with 3 variations thanks to TikTok Smart Plus campaigns. If you're not advertising on TikTok, you're missing out.
Drive more app downloads only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
You know, a lot of times when you watch these horror movies, they make you, what do you call it, suspend your disbelief, and you got to believe something that really you wouldn't believe. Like I was watching one yesterday, 2 days ago, and the woman had a nightmare, and the doctor made a house call. So that would never happen. You don't even remember house calls, do you? I remember being a little bitty baby kid, and Dr. Mosby came over and gave me a shot, but I mean, that was a long time ago. Doctors don't make house calls anymore. So when it comes to Halloween, you know, you can look at things supernatural one way or the other. It can be either like a serial killer or a horror thing, or it can be something from outer space. We couldn't find a serial killer to come on, so we decided to go with Dr. Jillian Scudder, our friend, associate professor of physics and astronomy at Oberlin College and an author of 3 books on astronomy for the general public. Good morning, Dr. Scudder. How are you?
Good morning. Yes, happy to not be the serial killer.
Well, you know, I was going to say, it doesn't have to be mutually exclusive. I don't know anything about you. You may well be a serial killer, are you?
Nope.
Don't answer that. Tell me what's going on in the world of... Hey, you know what I want to ask you first, real quick?
Yeah.
You are a scientist. You are the ultimate scientist. So... has anything ever unworldly or anything that can't be explained by science or physics ever happened to you?
To me?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
There's plenty of things that have happened to me that I don't understand, but that doesn't mean that science can't explain them. I just don't know.
Well, you mean like interpersonal relationships or something, like you wake up and they have a, the devil carved into your arm or something like that?
More just like, oh, that's a weird thing that happened. Why did that happen? So for a long time, for instance, I had to go look this one up. Mm-hmm. In the winter, I get shocked on running water. Mm-hmm. That seems rude. Mm-hmm. There was a while where I'm like, but it's water. How am I getting shocked on water off the tap?
Did you say it seemed rude?
It did seem rude. Yeah.
I guess it's rude. Okay.
Water shouldn't be passing electricity into my fingertips.
Right.
It's rude.
It's interesting that a scientist is going to the emotional part of rude on that, though, is going to the that it wouldn't be an interesting phenomenon. You found it rude.
Well, I can find it both.
Yeah, you can. That's true. So why was the water shocking you?
I was carrying a lot of static charge because it's dry. Mm. And water conducts electricity. So I was grounding myself on the water.
I saw that one time on TV on the Three Stooges, but I think they had actually routed the plumbing through the electrical fixtures, so that might be why that happened.
Yes.
Anything else
that
happened?
That would be a poor choice.
Yes. Anything else happened to you that you'd care to share? That, you know, I love talking to you. I love finding all kinds of different things about you.
I mean, it's just I find all sorts of things really interesting. My general response is not
What about coincidences? Any kind of coincidences where, or do you, where you're thinking about somebody and they call, but then do you realize as a scientist, well, you know what, I've actually thought about 15,000 people, but this is the only one that, that I thought of that called, so therefore I'm thinking that's the one I remember?
There is a bit of confirmation bias in a lot of those things where you're like thinking about something and then it happens and you go, oh, yeah, there it is. And so that's an easy way of like remembering things because it sticks in your brain a little bit better.
Right.
But in general, if there's something that happens to me and I don't understand it, my response is to go learn about it because I'm curious.
Well, that makes you the scientist that you are, doesn't it?
It does. It also gives me a bunch of weird facts.
Like what? Give me some weird facts.
Some weird facts?
Yeah.
I think one that I ran into recently was, well, that surprised a student of mine recently, was the moon smelling like gunpowder. We talked about this one probably a little while ago, but it came back up recently.
The moon smells like gunpowder.
Yes.
Hmm.
We're talking about misconceptions that people might have, and we think of the moon as being made of rock, and it mostly is. And we don't think of rocks smelling of anything, and we also don't think about the moon smelling of anything. But the moon is actually quite dusty. And so when the astronauts came back in from their moonwalks, they were covered in dust. And so when it was saved, when they sealed the spacecraft back off and put the air back in, then the air inside the craft, it gets all dusty from the moon dust.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the Apollo astronauts reported that the dust smelled like gunpowder.
Hmm. Was that because of the chemical composition of gunpowder or something that's in gunpowder that it was also on the moon? I guess they've analyzed
It's actually really unclear why it smelled like gunpowder because the samples that they brought back, the moon dust was so sharp that it cut the sample bags and air got into them. So by the time they made the three-day trip back, they kind of lost their smell. And so we're not quite sure why it smells like gunpowder. But
sharp.
It's an interesting thing to know.
Sharp dust, you say?
It's sharp, yeah. So the rocks, the dust is there because the rocks have been hit by lots of small meteorites.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just fractured rock. And on Earth, our dust is not usually particularly sharp because there's erosion and things tumble against each other. But on the moon, there's not really a lot of wind because there's no atmosphere. So there's no reason for the dust to tumble and polish itself down. So instead it just stays sharp and jagged. And so when you put that into a little plastic baggie, you're likely to rip the bag.
When you say rock, are you talking about granite or what kind of rock? Or is this just stuff from a planetary explosion from years back from a burned out star? And I don't want to hurt myself using these words, but help me out.
So the rock of the moon is a combination of things. Some of it is the results of the formation of the moon, which came from a big collision between an object about the size of Mars and the proto-Earth back in the very, very early solar system. And so some of it is from that era, but a lot of it is volcanic because there was volcanic activity on the moon for quite a long time. And so we have like basalt, which is a volcanic rock. In a lot of the places that we landed Apollo missions. So not everywhere on the moon is volcanic, but where we tended to send people because it was nice and flat in those places, a lot of the rock is volcanic in nature.
So what can we learn by going back to the moon? Seriously.
Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of technological challenges that we have to get through in order to get to the moon. And so there's a lot of sort of challenges of how do we get human bodies through any short trip in space safely. And so there's a lot of learning that happens there. There's also a lot of learning that can happen just about how the moon evolved over time. When I was learning about the lunar volcanoes, I was reading all these planetary science papers, and a whole bunch of them had a sentiment along the lines of, man, it would be cool if we could get rocks from right here.
Mm-hmm.
But we only have so many samples, and they're from a very biased selection. So going back might let us get more interesting rocks. But I think most of the bulk of what we're going to learn is how to protect the human body in space and how to do that sustainably.
What could we learn? What could we learn if we were to bring back more rocks from the moon, I guess? Is there anything, is it possible that underneath, and I'm not trying to be stupid here because I can be stupid without trying, but is there anything to be learned? Like, I don't know how much dust there is. You know, if you sweep it away on them, it's all dust. I'm not trying to be stupid, but is there any way that we know what the core of the moon is made up? Have we ever done any drilling or any kind of sampling or anything?
There's not been any drilling, but we do have an estimate of what the moon's core is like, because what we do have is we put seismometers on the moon, which measure earthquakes usually.
Okay.
But on the moon, they measure moonquakes. And so the way that earthquakes or moonquakes move through the moon tells us about the interior structure. This is how we know about the core of the Earth as well. We haven't drilled to the core of the Earth, but we know what the structure of the Earth is like because we can watch how earthquakes bounce off of different layers and travel through different layers and go, oh, okay, there must be an inner core and then an outer core and then a mantle layer. And so we've done similar things on the moon. So we have an idea, but a lot of those were placed quite a long time ago. And our monitoring has could be improved if we had new technology on the moon.
You know,
we could get a better idea of what it would look like or what it might be doing.
I'm sorry to mean to interrupt you. We look at it every night and sometimes during the day, and we just take it for granted. We don't even know where it came.
Yeah.
Where did it come from? Where did the moon come from?
It came out of an event that we call the Great Impact. So this is an event that occurred very, very early in the solar system when the planets were still forming.
And about like 1930, 32?
Is that what you consider ancient times?
Yeah. No, really, when? How long ago?
This would be like 4 and change billion years ago.
Okay.
So the planets were starting to form, but not fully formed yet. Mm-hmm. And an object about the size of Mars, which we've given it a name called Theia, mm-hmm. and it would have been, so about a third the size of our current Earth, hit our Earth and caused a huge mass. And so huge amounts of the surface.
Did you say mess or mass?
A mess, which will condense it down into a mass,
okay.
which is eventually the moon. So it shreds the outer layer of our planet, the core of the Theia object, and the core of our Earth combine. But the rest of it kind of mixes together, and some of it stays out in orbit, and that becomes our moon. And so one of the reasons we think this is because when we looked at the composition of the rocks of the moon and the composition of rocks on the Earth, they're almost identical. And
so the moon came from the Earth. I had no idea of this. And,
yeah,
I'm almost 40 years old.
So we, through a massive impact, created the moon out of a mix of what was Earth rock and this Theia rock. And so they have to be almost identical in that way. And it was one of the big hints that, yeah, we have a similar origin, is because otherwise the moon could be made of different materials. Mm-hmm. And then we could go, oh, well, maybe it was a free wandering object and we just caught it.
Maybe there'd be something on it that we could use to maybe power a perpetual energy machine.
Maybe there'd be something interesting happening there. Yeah.
So let me ask you this.
It could be metal or whatever.
If I were to cut the moon in half and look at it in cross-section, what would it look like?
You would have a thin layer of crust, like the Earth has. Mm-hmm. And then you would have a very cold, thick layer that is basically a cooled version of our own mantle. But that would go most of the way in, like quarters, 80% of the way in.
Like when you say cooled, you're talking about
temperature.
No, yeah. I know that, but I mean, like, what temperature would you...
Oh, I don't know offhand. I'm thinking like it's not warm enough to be melted or moving in any capacity.
All right.
So it's maybe not touchable the deeper you go, but
gotcha.
It will be close to the surface.
Okay.
And then at the very, very core, we think there is a piece of the moon, the core, that is still warm. And so that you shouldn't touch. But yeah. Exactly what that looks like is something that we're still figuring out. So we think there's probably a solid core, a little bit like our own solid core, and then a very, very thin layer that is melted. But that's a very small bit. So you'd have a bright piece in the middle that would be leaking out, having cut the Earth and moon. Cut the moon in half. So.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
But the rest of it would just be solid rock.
All right, we're going to talk about 31 Atlas when we come back. What's that? Well, you're going to have to hang on. Stay tuned to find out. We're talking to our friend Dr. Julian Scudder, Associate Professor of Physics and Astronomy at Oberlin College and author of 3 books on astronomy for the general public. It's Halloween, so we thought we'd talk about outer space. Coming back in a flash, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Whereas it's Halloween, and being the prankster that I am, I wanted to see if anybody would catch me. Much like when I say Oliver Wendell Douglas to identify as Supreme Court Justice, I see if anybody texts in to correct me, knowing full well that that's a guy from Green Acres. I called it the 31 Atlas. It is actually the 3i Atlas, and nobody texted in to correct me. So let's talk about it. Dr. Julian Scudder, Associate Professor of Physics and Astronomy at Oberlin College, and author of 3 books on astronomy for the general public, including... What is it? Smells like raspberry? Mars smells like raspberry?
The Milky Way.
Milky Way smells like raspberry. That's what it is. So let's talk about the 3i comet. What is a comet to begin with, and what is the 3i Atlas?
Sure. So a comet is a mixture of ice and dirt and dust and other material that usually hangs out within our solar system, very, very far away from the sun, where it's so cold that the ice is basically frozen solid. Mm-hmm. And occasionally...
Let me interrupt for a second. Would this be akin to a big, giant glacier moving through space, or not really?
Yeah, kind of, except much dirtier.
Okay. All right.
So a glacier is much cleaner, much more ice than a comet is, because comets are actually so mixed in with other material that they're quite dark. They're about the same darkness as black velvet.
Really?
Yeah.
Have you ever seen a comet with Elvis painted on it?
I have not.
Okay. That'd be something, wouldn't it?
It would. Yeah. Very impressive.
Mm-hmm.
So
Go ahead.
Look
I didn't mean
bright
to
in the sky. Oh, you're fine. They look bright in the sky because sometimes when they come into the inner solar system, they start warming up, and then the ice starts to evaporate, and then that evaporated ice turns into a gas, and then that reflects light. And so we see the reflected light of the evaporating gas and dust, and that's why they look bright. But if you were actually up close next to one, they would be the comet itself, the nucleus of it, is very, very dark.
So how dense?
How, all sorts of other things.
How dense is it? Are we looking at something that is miles wide and composed of individual pieces that we perceive it to be one solid piece, or is it a bunch of different thousands and thousands of pieces that are just so far away that they appear to be one piece?
They're actually, at least the ones that we've gone to go visit, which are not so many, kind of one coherent chunk of ice and dust mixed together. So it is not a rubble situation, but they can break apart as they come closer to the sun. But they're kind of irregular blobs of ice and bits of rock held together. So they are kind of glued together by the ice. But they're not that big. They're sort of 50, 100 meters in some cases, but they don't tend to get miles across. They do tend to get, you know, 100 meters, something like that, but not enormous. It's just that they, when they start evaporating, they become, the tails of their evaporated gas do become large, and then that's usually what is most visible.
Not melt, but evaporate.
Yes.
Or is there a difference? Yes.
Well, so melting implies that it's going into a water-based state, and evaporating is turning straight into a gas. So we can, because of the temperatures involved of being in sunlight, there's so much heat there that the ice will do what we call sublimate and go straight from solid to gas and not really go through a melted watery phase. And then the gas is free to depart the body of the comet, and that's what we see as a tail.
So the gas is of no harm to anybody, right?
Nope, it's just hanging out in space.
So tell me,
the dust is also not really of any harm to anybody, but it can give us interesting meteor showers.
Tell me about the comet and an asteroid difference.
So asteroids are mostly rock, and comets are largely ice. Is the main distinction that we have,
which goes to gas. Fuzzy. But the rock stays rock.
The rock will stay rock.
Okay.
So what it will do as you bring a comet in close to the sun is you evaporate away all of the ice, and then the little pieces of rock and dirt and stuff will wind up getting loosed away, and so those get left behind in this little trail. So if you see these like Dennis the Menace kind of trails of where he's been, comets kind of do the same thing with their dust and small bits of rock.
So as far as dangers to the Earth, a comet would never be a danger, would it? Or could it be?
I mean, the only situation in which a comet would really be dangerous is if it hit us directly. And then that would be a problem. But that's a problem no matter what is hitting us. And the odds of that are incredibly low.
Are the odds better for, not better, but what are the greater odds, for, even though they're very small, of a comet or a asteroid hitting us?
I think we're more concerned with the odds of an asteroid hitting. Not so much because it would be less damaging per se, but large asteroids, you can get quite large asteroids, and those are very destructive. And then large comets are a little bit more uncommon, and they also start evaporating before they get to us, and they're also less just comets coming into the inner solar system is less of a common phenomenon. Whereas we know there's a whole asteroid belt full of rocks hanging out, and so that's much closer to us. And so the asteroids are kind of a bigger hazard, generally speaking.
So where do we stand with what have we learned in the last year or two about space?
All sorts of things. I mean, if you want to stick on the comet theme, the interstellar comets are not so uncommon is an interesting thing that we have learned. The very first interstellar comet was found in 2017, I think, 2019. And since then we've found three, which is a lot for objects coming through our solar system, which is not so big. So that's pretty cool because it tells us that we should be able to spot more of them if we start being able to look for them more carefully.
Will you be dressing up for Halloween today?
I am dressed up for Halloween today, yes.
As?
I have a circle skirt that I have embroidered with the northern celestial hemisphere, so all of the stars that can be seen by eye are accurate in both size and position on my skirt. So I am the night sky today.
Are you wearing that as well?
Hmm?
Are you wearing that too? That's two of us.
No. Oh, well, good job on your embroidery.
Thank you. It took a while, but I'm going to tell you what.
I didn't know you had so many skills.
It is dead on accurate. I can guarantee you that. Dr. Scudder, a pleasure as always. I enjoy talking to you. We learn something every time we talk to you. Dr. Jillian Scudder, happy Halloween, associate professor of physics and astronomy at Oberlin College and an author of 3 books on astronomy for the general public. Just Google Jillian Scudder, S-C-U-D-D-E-R, and you can find all the books and order them, and they're nice gifts. Good reads for kids. Be a nice Christmas present for a kid. 9:37, 23 till 10. Traffic now, WWL.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. My name is Trey Farrow. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today, only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of...
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% off site-wide, plus an additional 10% off every order at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.